Srila Prabhupada's instructions about prasadam distribution in certain circumstances, and we'll cover as much more ground as we can. First of all, the history of development for welfare programs, especially prasadam distribution programs. That history is not always as we have heard it. Large-scale prasadam distribution in a charitable sense began in Sridhar Mayapur sometime around 1972. At that time, prasadam was distributed in long rows out in the open. Maybe you've seen some of the old pictures of that. Local people would sit in rows, and large quantities of prasadam would be distributed up and down the rows. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted large-scale prasadam distribution in Mayapur as an important function, and so that was begun under his direction. Later, also under Srila Prabhupada's direction, that prasadam pavilion was constructed and other arrangements were made. Now, sometime around 1972, going to the other side of the world, New York City, we had a temple in Brooklyn, New York, and were aspiring to purchase a building in New York City, in Manhattan. And devotees, so a prospectus was put together, sort of a flip chart, showing the good work that we would do in that center and that we were doing around the world. And it showed education, classrooms and children, Gurukul children. It showed other sorts of lectures given in university settings. It showed festivals. And it showed prasadam distribution in Mayapur. So there were photos of all these things. And devotees would go out with this flip chart and present why we were collecting, why we needed funds. And it didn't take long for them to discover that really only one page of the brochure was required, namely the page that showed us feeding hungry people. That was around the time of the Bangladesh War, if I recall, and the standard utterance was that we're helping feed hungry people in Bangladesh. We're helping feed hungry people from Bangladesh. And people would give quite generously. That became, of course, not everyone would say Bangladesh. Some people would say hungry people in India, or some people would say hungry people from Bangladesh, because it's a fact that Mayapur is just over the border from Bangladesh, not too far from the border anyway. So in different ways, sort of if anywhere in the sentence you said Bangladesh, that would be enough. So that was going on. In 1974, around 1974, one of our godbrothers, Pancharatna Prabhu, began to put something together systematic in the way of an organization for collecting and receiving funds and sending them to Mayapur. He called that organization ISKCON Food Relief, and we would then collect in the name of ISKCON Food Relief and send money to Mayapur. Apart from collecting another, Prabhupada would just take money, contributions, and send them to Mayapur for prasadam distribution. If you search through the folio for ISKCON Food Relief, you don't come up with too much about it, except that there are repeated requests from Srila Prabhupada that the money collected for food relief should be sent for food relief. This was a problem from the beginning. Devotees would collect in the name of one thing and use the money for something else, for local temple affairs and so on. I had only one quotation on the matter. Parshuram Prabhu, who's doing some very good things in London, has sent a circular which includes quotations, several more quotations. I'll read a few of them. This was the one I had. 1975 to Rupanuga. Why is it that money that has been collected on behalf of ISKCON Food Relief Program has not been sent to India? Where is that money? This is not good. If you are not intending to send for food distribution, then do not collect in the name of food relief. Whatever is collected for India food distribution must be sent as soon as it is collected to India. 1975, to Rameshwar, you can make ISKCON food relief cards, but the money collected using this card must be sent to India, where we are actually feeding people. 1975 to Rupanuga. Money collected for feeding people in India should be collected under the name of ISKCON Food Relief, not any other name. And every farthing of that money must be sent to India. Again, 75, all money that is collected on behalf of the food relief program should be sent to India, or if possible, send grains. Why has this not been done? And so on. The last one, actually, we have it. 75, in Bombay, I have paid in advance 25,000 rupees to Bhavananda Maharaj for food relief, poor feeding. So whatever you have collected for poor feeding may be sent to Bombay Bank of America, to Rameshwar Das in L.A. So that was the instruction. If you collect for food relief, the money goes for food relief. And that instruction might perhaps still be worth repeating today, and that's why Parshuram Prabhu sent me these quotations. You can ask as you go back home, is money being collected for food relief actually going for food relief? I can think of one very large temple in India, in fact, where I know a lot of money was collected for food relief, and sources close to the treasurer make me wonder. In legal circles, there is a name for collecting in the name of one thing and using it for another. That name is fraud, and in most countries, it's punishable by various sorts of penalties. Okay. Moving ahead to sometime after 1977, after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, we were getting not the most wonderful publicity in the world, as usual, and we wanted to do something about it. And ISKCON hired on a public relations firm, with a national American public relations firm with headquarters, I believe, in New York and a branch office in Los Angeles. The firm did an audit of ISKCON, you know, exploring what ISKCON does. And they concluded that the best thing about your movement that you're doing is feeding people. That's something that you should promote. So that advice was taken, and sometime after 1977, ISKCON Food Relief was transformed or renamed or restarted under the name Food for Life. Later, Hare Krishna was added, Hare Krishna Food for Life. Not everyone is happy with just Food for Life. And that is the origin of the Food for Life program. Sometime not long after, I started getting letters from a devotee in Denver about starting something called ISKCON Disaster Relief. And he was asking questions about how much we could work with other organizations in to be able to be mobilized quickly to help in disaster situations. In emergency situations, would it be acceptable for us to distribute food even if it had meat in it under, you know, emergency circumstances? Well, those sort of questions were asked. His efforts seemed to peter out. He didn't get a lot of encouragement from senior devotees, although disaster relief efforts have later appeared. Any questions about the history? I think that's a fairly straightforward synopsis of it. Now, someone asked the other day, yes? Yes, for those who were told that Food for Life was founded by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that is not precisely correct. Even ISKCON Food Relief was not founded directly by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada pushed prasadam distribution at our temple in Sridhar Mayapur. He wanted it done on a grand scale. His disciples organized ISKCON Food Relief sometime around 1974 as a discrete organization. And Hare Krishna Food for Life was started sometime after 1977. Okay? Those who want to say that it was inspired by Srila Prabhupada, I think would be within legitimate bounds. But VBT was founded by Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON was founded by Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust, Mayapur Vrindavan Trust, not ISKCON Food Relief or Food for Life. Okay, someone asked yesterday about this quotation, famous quotation from Srila Prabhupada, that within 10 miles of our temple, no one should go hungry. We've heard the story about how Srila Prabhupada saw a child taking food from the garbage and, moved to tears, said that we must feed them, and then said within 10 miles no one should go hungry. I'm told that that story is in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, but a search of the database, all Prabhupada's writings and Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, didn't turn it up. I searched for mile, miles, kilometer, kilometers, 10, 20, garbage, nothing. Hungry child, hungry children, starving child, starving children. I don't think it's there. Still, I think that the story is true. I seem to remember it coming in newsletters from someone who was with Srila Prabhupada, perhaps Shyam Sundar. So I tend to believe the story. I don't know. I tend to believe the story, although I couldn't say for sure. Now, I did turn up two quotations about that 10-mile radius, and I'll read them to you. One is to Balavanta in 1977 regarding farm in America. Take more land and engage them in agriculture, plowing by the bulls instead of tractor. Bulls can be engaged in plowing and transporting. Nice bullock carts, village to village, for preaching. Make the farm the center and go 10 miles this side, 10 miles that side, 10 miles this side, etc., with four bullock carts. Sell books and preach and live peacefully on the farm. Then the second one, more relevant to prasadam distribution. Whatever income you've got, you'll get from this record business. Someone was proposing a record business. Spend it for giving prasadam. We've got so many centers, they will feed. Therefore, I started Mayapur, this prasad distribution, and it is coming to be successful. People, politicians, are appreciating that here is Hindu-Muslim unity, because we feed not only Hindus, but Muslims in Mayapur. Then Rameshwar says, all the devotees will appreciate this then, that the money can be used for food relief. Probably, yes, and we can increase. Come on, any number, I shall feed you. Come here, chant Hare Krishna, and take prasadam. And we shall increase the quality of the prasadam. They will be very much pleased to come and chant. That I want. I am interested in these rascals, and then there's something indistinct. I used to think like that. In all our temples, the prasad distribution should be so random, there's a question mark whether the word was random, I think it was, so random that within 10 miles, nobody should remain hungry. There are many persons in India, they are half-time hungry. So if you distribute prasadam, come over here. You are hungry, take prasadam. If I cannot supply daily, I'll supply at least 2 days, 3 days weekly. And they're coming. You have seen Mayapur. Big prasadam distribution hall. Regular, 2,000s are coming. And Hindu, Muslim, they're sitting down. And Prabhupada says, is there any reason why, Harisari asks, why we just distribute on a Saturday and Sunday? Prabhupada says, we can distribute every day. Yes, let them eat. They can eat. So Srila Prabhupada clearly is very keen on prasadam distribution. Now, the next question will be how Srila Prabhupada used the funds that he received. Here's one sample quotation. The $5,000 which you have collected for food relief may be sent for the construction of the prasadam distribution pavilion here at Mayapur Temple. Garga Muni Swami has pledged to provide one half the funds. Hansa Tuta Prabhu has just sent $4,000 for food relief, which will also be used for this project. Now, if you go on with other quotations, you'll find that what Srila Prabhupada did with virtually all the money that he received from ISKCON Food Relief was that he spent it in Sridhar Mayapur. It all went, as far as it came to him, it all went for prasadam distribution in that program, which is still going on in Mayapur, The people can come. We've built a big prasadam pavilion for them. They can come and take prasadam. One time I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. He walked through the prasadam distribution hall. It was empty at that time in the morning. And he said, you can paint pictures also, looking at the empty walls. Radha Krishna pastimes. He said, Radha Krishna Gunagao. Sayanamrita Pao, Radha Krishna Gunagao. So that was Prabhupada's prasadam distribution program. It's described by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj in his book, Servant of the Servant. Once again, Prabhupada was engaging me in the service of Sri Mayapur Dham, this time by requesting funds for the food distribution program. While the other temples in the area only distributed prasadam during the annual festival of Lord Chaitanya's birthday, Srila Prabhupada had ordered that our Mayapur Chandrodaya temple distribute prasadam at least twice a week and, if possible, every day. As a result, thousands came, many walking as much as 20 miles from distant villages. And those who came were not just Hindus, many Muslims, recognizing ISKCON's non-sectarian mood, felt no aversion whatsoever to sitting side by side with their Hindu brothers, respecting Krishna prasadam, and even chanting Hare Krishna. Now, this was Prabhupada's program, profuse distribution of prasadam, and especially in his time, he directed the money to Sridhar Mayapur, although he clearly said that in every temple we should have this prasadam distribution. Temple means when people come, there must be kirtan. People come for darshan, but there must be not only darshan, there must be kirtan, there must be philosophy, some speaking about Krishna, some books about Krishna, and there must be prasadam. Nothing, what is that? Vidihina masrishtanam mantrihina madakshinam. Any yajna where there's no mantras, where the rules and regulations are followed, aren't followed, where there's no distribution of prasadam, that's yajna in the mode of ignorance. So in the yajna, there must be prasadam distribution. And Prabhupada wanted profuse distribution of prasadam. Srila Prabhupada explained the basic principles of prasadam distribution, a basic principle, 1975 in London, August. Just like we are distributing prasadam, not that because he is poor man and we are giving prasad. No, this is not our idea. To our eyes, the so-called poor man and rich man, they are all suffering. Not that the simply poor man suffering and the rich man is not suffering. Therefore, we give them prasadam, or it says here, Isha Sangha. That prasadam is also Isha. The prasadam accepted by Krishna, offered to Krishna, is also Krishna. So if we give prasadam, then he is getting the opportunity of associating with Krishna. This is our idea. So this prasad distribution, people very much appreciate poor feeding, so that you can take it that, but everyone is poor. Who is rich? Unless one has got knowledge of Krishna, he is poor. So this prasad distribution means giving chance to the people, those who are poor in knowledge, to awaken their Krishna consciousness. This is our policy. Otherwise, we cannot do any good to others. A model of prasadam distribution, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, this is Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Prabhupada went to see the golden temple of the Sikhs in Amritsar. And there Prabhupada saw prasadam distribution. The Sikhs pride themselves in the assertion that no one in Amritsar goes hungry, and they daily feed dal and chapatis to 10,000 people. This interested Prabhupada, and he observed their massive operation. He watched the group of men rolling chapatis, flipping them deftly through the air onto a giant griddle, while other men, using long paddles, turned the chapatis, held them briefly over the hot coals, and then placed them in stacks. This is how to distribute prasadam, Prabhupada said. Okay. Any questions so far? No. Now I'd like to direct your attention to the handout. Did everyone get a copy of this handout? One page? These are Srila Prabhupada's explicit instructions about prasadam distribution in poor areas and emergency areas. I don't know if there are other instructions I've failed to turn up, but these are the ones that I've found in my long searches through the folio database. First one is to Upendra Das, 1976. So far, the Fiji ISKCON constitution is concerned, where it says, supplying needs to the sick, poor, and orphans, etc. That is not our program. We distribute prasadam to everyone, not particularly to the needy. We make no discrimination, rich or poor. So it appears from this that the devotees there had made a constitution and included this attractive feature in the constitution that we're helping the poor, we're willing to help the sick, the poor, the orphans, and Prabhupada had it deleted. Next quotation is from a letter to Jayapataka Swami, 1976. Regarding food distribution, Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, I should say, was the co-president or co-director of Sridham Mayapur at that time. Regarding food distribution, they may come to take at our temple. With traveling Sankirtan, we can distribute wherever we go, but not to the emergency spot like that. Then, seems to me the context was fairly obvious, but because not everyone thought so, we asked Jayapataka Maharaj what this letter was responding to, and his reply follows. After we did local flood relief and food distribution, we found it to be quite effective in various ways. I wrote Srila Prabhupada whether we could go to similar relief to the Bay of Bengal coast if there was a cyclone, hurricane-type storm, or similar crisis. Srila Prabhupada gave the above reply. Next letter is to Giriraj Maharaj, 1972, when he was in charge in Bombay. I suppose he was temple president at that time in Bombay. So far, prasad distribution. It is not a question of rich or poor. That will be karma kanda. Our program, therefore, is that we offer prasad to everyone. Make our temple so nice that everyone who comes is offered some prasad. Not that we are after poor men. It is nice that we are feeding 200 daily, but gradually try to increase. But do not advertise. We shall be self-advertising. And do not go to poor areas. This is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is prasad distribution, without discrimination, rich or poor. Any questions so far? Yes? Rich people may not appreciate, and poor people may not appreciate. Could you speak louder, please? Hold on a second, let this microphone come to you, and speak slowly and clearly. Yes, loudly. Who takes prasad? Of course, yes, someone's experience may be that poor people take prasad and rich people don't. But that depends what you do. If you go to buckets to the embankment in London and set up there, you're not going to get a lot of rich men coming. If you set up a bakery in Radadesh, you will get rich people coming. It depends. Who you get depends on how you do it. Since we're talking about how we do it, I propose next to review or take a quick look at some of our present ISKCON Prasadam distribution programs. Without prejudice, without prejudging whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, whether they're compliant with Srila Prabhupada's instructions or not, whether the vision is correct or incorrect, here are some programs. And I will comment because I've already, I've got prejudices. I take it all back, I'm going to say it. At least the positive ones I'll start out with. There's a program for prasadam distribution I've personally seen in Africa. In Durban, I've particularly gone out with their prasadam distribution programs. They take a jeep or two. They go to a local village where the local people, especially the black people, live. And they set up at a school. They get out of the van. They start kirtan and do a big enthusiastic kirtan and get everybody chanting Hare Krishna. Then they distribute prasadam. They give a couple little small books to the school, and then they drive away. That's exactly what Srila Prabhupada said to do in Africa. So what they will understand philosophy. Not that there's no one intelligent in Africa. We're also going to colleges, and they're very intelligent black people are there, and they take up our movement. But when you go to Africa, you'll see that there are many, many poor, uneducated people, very, very simple, and you go and give them the teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Isha Upanishad, you're wasting your bullets. Yes? Hold on a second, let that microphone reach you. Do not advertise, we shall be self-advertising. What I assume that means, I'm not the greatest authority, I assume what that means is that Srila Prabhupada said, don't advertise it, but the program will advertise itself. People will see what you're doing, word will get around, and in that way it will advertise itself. That would be my, speculation.
What do you think when for example, we go online now, from 3 to 5 and enter from the spot where we
is that advertisement? If you invite people to come? No, that's advertising people to come. That's different from advertising, you know, we're feeding the hungry people of Antwerp. I think what Srila Prabhupada means here is don't blow your own horn and say how great you are that you're doing this program. Just let the word get out naturally. Would you say that's a fairly straightforward assumption? So you're going to put, that's, I think, what Prabhupada means. Doesn't mean don't blow a horn and tell people to come. Householders are supposed to go outside of their home and call three times. If you're hungry, come on. So that's sensible. If you're feeding, let people know about it. Next program. In Vrindavan, Rupa Raghunath Prabhu has a program which has been going on for several years. Right outside the temple, directly opposite Srila Prabhupada's samadhi. There's another structure architecturally matching the samadhi structure. The ground floor is open, and every day at noontime they have free distribution of prasadam. Very nice khichdi, maybe some other items I think also are distributed. People are invited, come sit down, and all sorts of people, sadhus and guests from Delhi, and all sorts of people sit down in nice rows. And sometimes I've even seen, that the local people, because they're from Vrindavan or they're visiting from someplace, so they themselves, without even our organization, they sit down, they start chanting Hare Krishna and all sorts of holy names of Krishna, on, and then they take prasadam in great happiness. So that's a very wonderful program. And again, it's just what Srila Prabhupada wanted, that you come to the temple and there's profuse distribution of prasadam. So that's been going on for several years. In Bombay also, fairly regularly. Sometimes it's been going on, sometimes not. They've been sitting people down in front of the temple structure and distributing prasadam. In Gainesville, Florida, United States, since during Srila Prabhupada's time, early 1970s, they've had a program for distributing prasadam to the students. That program has been very much appreciated The students have, every time the university tried to stop it, the students rebelled and came to the support of the devotees. Now the program has been going on so many years, we meet people who are in business in Lachua and even elsewhere, people who are professionals and so on, and they are automatically inclined toward us because they grew up eating Krishna Prasadam at the University of Florida. That program is also combined with a program to bring the students into Krishna consciousness, to give them books, to enlighten them in the science of Krishna. Several devotees have joined Krishna consciousness movement from that program, and it's still going on every day at the University of Florida. They come, and they either, if they have enough people, they have kirtan. If they don't, they play a tape of kirtan, and the students actually help set everything up, and they distribute prasadam, and sit around and talk to people, and then they drive back to the temple and clean the pots. That's the program. No chairs. People sit on the lawn, and they have a quadrangle. It's Florida. It's all sunny and nice. Okay? This is a 1995 resolution on the environment. You can see what you think about it. I'm not going to comment on it. The spiritual vegetarian diet followed by ISKCON members saves scarce resources and has a far less negative impact on the environment than a meat-based diet. Since its founding in 1966, ISKCON has provided over 900 million vegetarian meals through its restaurants, temples, and Food for Life program for the homeless, hungry, or disadvantaged. The society has also sold over 10 million vegetarian cookbooks. Next program, there's a program in a prominent European city, since this is Europe, I don't know if it's still going on, for feeding the bums in a place where they're known to congregate on the side of a big river. And that's been the program. You go out there and feed the bums. As I say, I don't know if that's still going on. Another program. Let's see. Do I have the sheet or has it disappeared? Yes, I do. If you go to another very large temple in India, you won't find Back to Godhead on sale anywhere, but you'll find two booths for ISKCON Food for Life, which advertise, we are distributing free food in schools, poor people in jhuggis, which means busties, slums, orphanages, TB hospitals, blind institutes, in natural calamities like earthquakes, floods, etc. In normal conditions, festivals, and Food for Life distributes free meals at ISKCON Temple daily from 6 to 8 p.m. I don't know what they actually do, how much of that actually takes place. That's the story. This is another specimen from my collection, Hare Krishna Today. Hare Krishna Today, yes, from one of our temples in ISKCON in India, highlighting ISKCON quake relief. This lovely folder is from another temple in ISKCON, ISKCON India. How much it's in ISKCON India is subject to discussion, but it's an ISKCON temple in India, where they have a program called Unlimited Food for Life for distributing food daily to midday meals for the students. Their goal is to feed 30,000 rural children every day with a sumptuous and nutritious meal. The program costs $100,000 a month and addresses every aspects of every child's development, nutrition and education. Nutrition because it feeds them, and education because they can come to school because they're getting food. So it's a lovely program from a humanitarian point of view. I know how many devotees there are in that temple, and I guarantee you that there's not enough to go around and have kirtan and any sort of preaching to 30,000 students a day. But that's the program, which has enormous billboards when you go there. Unlimited food for life, and you know the usual pictures of hungry people being fed nutritious meals. I understand the program is doing extremely well as far as from a collection point of view. There's a program in Radhakund. I met a devotee from France, one of our most prosperous yatras at the moment, full of men and money. There's a devotee from France in Radhakund who seems to have made an important part of his devotional service the program of feeding the Babajis in Radhakund. Those of us who've been around long enough to have heard Srila Prabhupada talk about the Babajis in Radhakund might wonder, in delicate terms, what the hell this man is doing. In Bombay, they had a collection for flood relief in Orissa, but when the temple president read these quotations, they canceled the campaign, used whatever money they'd collected by sending it to Orissa, and then dedicated the rest of the month to focusing on distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. I should say that in Orissa, they did have a very good program. When the flood struck Orissa, many people gathered at one of our temples in Gadaigiri, where Gaur Govinda Maharaj had his deities. And they just, you know, you go someplace, you go to a church, you go to a temple, your home has been smashed. They all gathered there. And the devotees undertook a very big effort to make sure that all those people got Krishna prasadam. Very nice program. That means temple. You come, Krishna and the temple are not different. So taking shelter of the temple means taking shelter of Krishna. So they took shelter of Krishna, then we have to give them prasadam. Another time, there's another story from Bombay, I think. Some very poor children were coming, just coming to the temple and seeing the deity. And Prabhupada said, you should give them nice dress also. Prabhupada said, they are coming to the temple. He said, they have no proper dress. You should see that they have nice dress. He didn't say, go out, so many children are there in Bombay, they have no proper dress. Collect from the West, distribute clothes. But when they were coming to the temple, and Prabhupada said, they have no proper dress, you give them nice dress, give them prasadam. There was a large program for relief for the recent Gujarat earthquake. I have something here from a prominent European temple, Hare Krishna temple, earthquake appeal. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is also struggling to reach out to local residents as much as assistance as possible, and so on. This is another one. Hare Krishna to the rescue, a report on the relief activities after the Indian earthquake. Hare Krishna to the rescue. There was also an appeal. One devotee I know, who's a Gujarati devotee in the West, who gives all of his money for preaching, received an appeal for help with medical activities that devotees were doing in Gujarat. He got a letter telling about all the terrible things that were going on and explaining that initial expenses for sustaining this relief operation for about 60 days alone will be around $100,000. So this request for help was sent to him. So you can consider about that. I have to say the person who was the superior of the devotees who sent out that appeal disapproved. For the sake of thoroughness, in the Ukraine we have a Food for Life program, which I understand does, help the needy and so on, that sort of thing. And Niranjan Maharaj tells us that that's what keeps us in the country. The government smiles upon us because we're helping the poor and needy people. I think it would be hard to find exception with something that keeps us in a country. Are there any questions so far? Yes.
Mike. Coming from the back.
In an emergency situation, like an earthquake or a flood, to go to the spot and have a makeshift temple, and then have the people come and serve.
Why did you go to that place?
Say again.
Go ahead, finish.
Would it be according to Prabhupada's instructions?
Would it be according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions? Let's hear some opinions from the crowd.
No.
Huh? Who says no? Why not? You just read it.
It's a makeshift temple. It's a temple.
How did you make the temple? How did you get to the temple? How did you get to the place to make the temple? You went to the emergency place, like that.
You go to the emergency place.
Like that.
We set up the temple.
Right. You go to the emergency spot, like that, and then you set up a temple.
Yeah. Then let people come and invite them and send them.
But then what about, we can distribute wherever we go, but not to the emergency spot, like that. Obviously, if we're there, we distribute prasadam. But when we're told not to go to the emergency spot, why do we suddenly set up a temple in the emergency spot? Pardon me? I didn't say no, he said no. I'm just helping him out with applying the evidence. I'm just visiting here, you know. I might also add, just from the previous quotations, every place is an emergency spot, according to Srila Prabhupada. Why is Gujarat an emergency, Gujarat an emergency spot and not New York City? Why is the Bowery a poor area and not Madison Avenue? Yes. Send that microphone back again.
I heard they went to the Kumbh Mela.
They did go to the Kumbh Mela.
And also distributed their own lot of prasadam.
They distributed tons of prasadam.
So, how do you consider
that? I consider it a wonderful program. Srila Prabhupada actually is the one who started that. When he went to the Kumbh Mela, he ordered that there must be prasadam distribution. The Kumbh Mela is a place where spiritual groups, Catholic, and people congregate from all over India in the millions. And the spiritual institutions set up their, essentially, temples for at least a month at a time, at least a month during the program. Usually, actually comes to several months. And we had a beautiful camp this year at Kumbh Mela, very nicely set up by Sarvaisharya Prabhu and Dinabandhu Prabhu and Bhima Prabhu. And they had the Padayatra cart with big Gauranitai deities. They had dioramas of Krishna Lila, Chaitanya Lila. They had regular kirtan and lectures. They had profuse book distribution. And they had Krishna Prasadam distributed, organized by Bhima Prabhu and distributed on a grand scale. It was expertly done, and people, high court judges and those sort of people were appreciating how nicely it was arranged. It's a festival program. It's our regular preaching program. Kirtan, bhajan, prasadam, lecture, books. That's our program. Prabhupada said, when you go for kirtan, traveling, send kirtan, then distribute prasadam.
So then, like, the Hindu song has this festival in Poland, and they go to this Wusuk festival where 100,000 young people come. And it also had like a tent with a festival and also prasadam distribution. So you can also go to festivals like this.
What's the judgment from the crowd? Is that okay?
Okay.
So it could be also like this voice said, people will get tents with babies to an emergency spot and take a test on there and distribute books and pajamas. Because many people are there also who are in need. And they
have you ever been to the site of an earthquake?
I'm really not being there.
Would be a preferable area if one wanted to avoid, say, poor areas.
What would I consider a favorable area?
Yes.
I think the most important area, the number one place where we should be distributing Krishna prasadam, is our own temple. That's what Prabhupada instructed to Giriraj Maharaj. Make our temple so nice that everyone who comes is offered some prasad. Similarly, yes, that's what Prabhupada said. I think I have some other place. The temple should be so nice. Prabhupada showed the example in Mayapur. He didn't go, Nadia district is a very poor district. The district where Mayapur is one of the poorest districts. And Srila Prabhupada did not instruct us, go throughout Nadia and give these hungry people prasadam. Go to where there are floods. Go to where there are famines. Prabhupada didn't give us that instruction. And he knew very well what the economic status of the people was. But what he did was he made profuse distribution of prasadam in Mayapur at our temple. Grand scale, huge scale. So that Tamal Krishna Maharaj recounts that people were walking 20 miles to come to our temple.
The context is that even when we're back to the temple, it's pretty much in the middle of the sticks there. Would you say that, say, Krishna Maharaj maybe has, it could extend itself further than the manor? Because, I mean,
sure.
If you look at that context, it's quite isolated.
I understand that they went to Stonehenge just recently. I saw the pictures. They had a nice festival, and they distributed books and chanted Hare Krishna and distributed prasadam. I got a circular here from Parshuram Prabhu telling about very nice programs that he's doing in England. Let's see. Well, telling about various places, actually, but some of them in England. University programs and all sorts of places. My philosophy about good publicity, if you want good publicity from food distribution, feed journalism students.
Did you say something about the tactical advantages?
Practical what?
Tactical advantages of food distribution, as in our reputation, as well as the core reason why we actually wanted this to be prasad in the first place.
I could say a lot about that. One idea of prasadam distribution, it seems to be the idea that motivates going to the poor places. Maybe I should say that first. My impression is that our number one reason for going to places where people are poor and stricken by disaster is to be seen as going to places where people are poor and stricken by disaster. I seriously question whether, not to question the pure-heartedness of individuals involved, but on an organizational level, I would be surprised to know that our number one reason for going was out of compassion for those people who were in difficulty, rather than to be seen in the newspapers, magazines, television, and so on. That's point one. Which is not wrong, I'm just saying that, you know, let's be clear about what we're doing. It's a strategy. We're going to do charitable work, and people are going to love us. It works. We've had stellar articles published in the New York Times highlighting our charitable activities. It is a strategy which, to some extent, will work. It's worked for others. It works for Catholic Church. It works for the Salvation Army. It works to some extent for, like, Congress Party. The same time when I was seeing the big banners at Hare Krishna Land for Orissa flood relief, as I was driving downtown, I saw big billboards with Sonia Gandhi's picture on it, appealing for help for the poor victims in Orissa. So we're not the only ones who play that game. It's played by all sorts of people and organizations, obviously because it brings in money and it brings in public sympathy or admiration. I think I would be all for such efforts if my spiritual master had encouraged them, authorized them, or even fallen short or stopped short of disapproving of them.
I have one more question.
Yes. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. What you hear from the quotes
is... excuse me, hold on a second. I do want to say more about that. There is a problem or a downside to that, apart from whether or not you're actually doing something that you're supposed to be doing or that you're authorized by Srila Prabhupada or by a founder Acharya to do. You have this problem. First you say, we're going to make a strategy here. We're going to do something charitable and people are going to give us their appreciation. We understand that it's not really our business, but we're going to do it and people are going to see that we're doing it and that's going to help us in our main business. We're going to be able to distribute more books, people will give us more facility, and so on. That's stage one. Stage two is that as you start to get appreciation and as you preach to the devotees that this is what we're going to do, the next stage two comes. That is, the devotees start thinking that we really are doing something here, which is our mission. That really we are doing good work here. Really we're fulfilling Prabhupada's mission. We're helping the needy. We're saving people afflicted by disaster. That's stage two. To the point where if anyone says, well, Prabhu, you know, this is not, then you'll start getting like heavy letters. Don't you know that there are sincere devotees working all over the world, dedicating themselves, risking their lives? That's stage two. This is our mission. And stage three, four, or five comes when you reach the mature stage, like the Salvation Army. I don't know how they're known in England. In America, when you have junk that you would dispose of, rather than take it to the dump, you call the Salvation Army. And they cart away your old clothes, old furniture, old whatever it is, and distribute it to the poor. Or the St. Vincent de Paul Society. There are various organizations. I knew of that organization. I used to see their trucks with the big shield on it when I was a child, a boy. And I don't think I was younger than about 20 before I found out that they had any sort of spiritual component to them. They're in fact a Christian missionary organization. They do have a message about Jesus and salvation and so on. But I had no idea what it was. And in fact, because in my tradition, the word salvation is not a big term. As far as I understood, salvation meant picking up your old garbage and carting it away. It meant salvage. So in the mature stage, then you finally reach the point where even the leaders of your organization believe that this is your mission. The leaders of your organization, the theologians, the priests, believe that this is what Jesus, or this is what Jehovah, or this is what Lord Chaitanya wanted us to do. And at that point, what is the distinction between you and a Karmakanda organization? What is the distinction between you and the Red Cross or the Red Crescent Society? Now that you're doing the work of all these charitable societies, who's doing your work? Who is there to preach renunciation? Who is there to preach that you're not this body? Who is there to preach that you should turn your back on material enjoyment and go back home, back to Godhead? Now that you're busy, fully dedicated to the urgent mission of uplifting the afflicted people of the poorer classes of this material world so they can have a decent life, who's going to do that other work? I grew up in a tradition, a reform tradition, in which the Jewish religion, there's an Orthodox, a conservative, and a reform tradition. The Orthodox people are the people you see dressing strangely, following all sorts of rituals and all that kind of stuff. The Reform people are the people who've dispensed with all of that and found a way to fit in and gain respectability for the tradition by keeping pace with the society around them. The result is that the people in that Reform tradition are non-distinguishable from the people around them. Their sons and daughters marry indiscriminately into with members of any other tradition that there might be. They're the fastest shrinking segment of the tradition that there is. The Orthodox are holding their own or growing. And the Reform are falling, they're dissipating into the air around them because there's no difference between them and their environment. There's a story, so they've totally succeeded in their goal. Their goal was to win acceptance by their neighbors, and they've been 100% successful to the point where they, practically speaking, no longer exist. There's a story, last story of the morning, I think. There's a story that there was a hungry Brahmin. There was a Brahmin traveling. And he was stranded out there in the desert or something, in the wilderness. No food for days and days. And somehow, out in the distance, at last, he saw a little hut. And he thought, thank God. Someone is there. At last I'll get some food. So he approached the hut. And as he approached, he saw that it was the home of a Muslim family. And he understood that if I enter this hut, I've lost my caste. I've lost my caste. The Hindu society was so strict. If you entered the home of a Muslim, you lost your caste. But the man was stranded. He was hungry. He was starving. So he knocked on the door of the home. Muslim gentleman opened the door. Sir, I'm so hungry. Could I come in? Yes, please, come in. Don't mind. Could you offer me some food? Yes, why not? Sit down. The Brahmin sat down. The Muslim placed some food before him. Brahmin took the food. Little food. And he said, sir, have you anything more? The Muslim said, sir, I've given you everything I have. I'm sorry. And Brahmin said, I've lost my caste, and still I'm hungry. That's where compromise can be.
On the practical aspect of Krishna, I just wanted to, which is very relevant to what you're saying, I wanted to comment on the balance of seeing, for example, the quotes of Sri Prabhupada between Prashadam, books, and kirtan.
You know what I'm going to do? I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off. because Sachinanda Maharaj has arrived and he deserves his full hour. And we'll be back here tomorrow and we'll have lots of time for questions and discussion. Thank you all very much.